Good morning, everyone. We're just going to go right. We're going right to prayer. Good morning, Father. I ask you to bless my TMC family today. Lord, show the revelation in your love and power and Holy Spirit. I ask you to minister their spirit this very moment. Where there's pain, give them peace and mercies. Where there's self-doubt, release them and renew their confidence and ability to work through them. Where there's kindness, I endorse you. I ask you to give them understanding, patience, strength as they learn to submit to your leading. Where there's spiritual stagnation, I ask you to renew them by revealing your nearness and drawing to their great intimacy with you. Where there's fear, reveal your love and release to the TMC family your courage. Where there's sin blocking, reveal, break it over their TMC family life. Bless their finances. Give them great vision. Raise them up as a leader and friend and supporter. Encourage the TMC family and go on. Father, I ask you to thank you for the DeLeon family. Thank you for Vanessa Witherspoon. Thank you for Dr. P.K. Roberts for answering the call for us this morning, for us all to come together on this call. Lord, I thank you for allowing this day. Thank you for going out and that's coming in. Lord, thank you for the people that want to get on a call and couldn't. Thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. In the name of Jesus, let us pray. We're going to go right to our host.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Amen. Praise God. Good morning, TMC family. This is LaShawn in Delaware, and I greet you all with warmest of kingdom greetings and with Jesus joy. I just want to say thank you so much, Minister Cynthia, out there in my home state, New York, New York. And I just want to say thank you for greeting and feeding God's children with such Jesus joy and with such dynamic prayer. We just thank you all for joining us this morning. And we just thank you so much for, you know, saying yes to the Father and saying yes to the Master's call. And the Master's call was founded back in 2005 to be exact, by two victorious women of God, Dr. Vanessa Witherspoon and Dr. P.K. Roberts. And these two women, when they said yes to the Lord, they said yes with due diligence. They said yes with decency and order. And they just said yes with the authority that God has given to them. I am so excited because not only did they follow God's plan, but they also made sure that they followed the ordained path that he has given to them. He gave them a scripture reference for this call to stand on. And that scripture reference can be found in Psalm 88:13, and it reads, "But to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you." So Master's Call family, we start this call off in prayer, we end this call off in prayer, and we encourage you to continue your day in prayer, because when the prayers go up, God's mighty, mighty blessings come down. And God also gave them a mission statement, which is to enrich, to enhance, and to empower believers as they begin their day. So Master's Call family, I'm just excited what the Lord has to say this morning. I know he has a selected vessel that is going to bring it straight from the throne room. And immediately after this call is the MMC call. And that call is so dynamic. It is an awesome team of artistpreneurs and movers and shakers and artists international. And that call is area code 530-881-1300. And the access code is 539-598-598-pound. I apologize. 539-598-pound. That's immediately after this call. And for those of you who are just joining us for the first time or may have missed the hosting part of this call, and you're saying, well, wait a minute, Artist International, what does that have to do with a prayer call? Well, I'm glad that you asked. Artist International is a health and wellness company that is totally sold out to the Lord. They do everything with decency and order, and it is also God-ordained. It is a Christian-based company. So if you're looking for a company that will not only increase your health, not only change your zip code, and not only band you with a dynamic group of people, I encourage you to go back to the person who told you about this call and ask them how you, too, can be part of Artist International. And speaking of which, Kings of Artists changed the date for the Bahama Conference. It will now be October 31st through November 2nd, and the rooms are now $99 a night instead of $159 a night. So that is a deal. That is a special, special blessing that we all have been introduced to, and I encourage you all to go ahead and sign up for this dynamic conference. It is going to be an amazing thing. So I'm about to get out the way so we can hear thus saith the Lord. This gentleman is a dynamic pastor. He is the pastor of one of the most exciting and powerful ministries in the New Orleans area, the Kingdom Builders Family Worship Center. And he states on his Facebook page that he's married to the most wonderful woman of God, Marcia Brown, of over 15 years, and the father of the best son and daughter in the world. Pastor Chuck is a graduate of Morehouse College in Business Administration, and his wife is his Spelman sister. And they have endured the test of time, and God has truly entered into their life and blessed them with so many things, and abundance, I will say. He started out his doors with 15 members, and now, glory be to God, he has over 450 members in his church that are ready to be kingdom builders. So without further ado, I bring to you none other than Pastor Chuck Brown. Are you there, sir?
Yes, I am, my sister. Good morning.
Good morning. Take it away.
Amen. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. Thank you for your service and for the vision of Pastor Vanessa, Pastor Dr. P.K. Roberts. All of you, the people of God who are on this line this morning, I want to get right into what God has for us. I want to begin a new series of teachings, lessons on today, dealing with the worship experience. The worship experience is what I want to minister as a series. John 4:24, this says that God is a spirit. They that worship him must do so in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. Those who they that worship him must do so in spirit and in truth. Worship comes from the old English word worth-ship, which implies worth on the object of affection. The greater the worth to you, the more value you place on it. And I can't speak for anybody else on the line, but I know that there is absolutely no way that I can minimize the value that God has in my life, because there's no way that I can live without the Lord. I'm sorry, but I can't live in a peaceful and meaningful manner because it is the Lord's presence that adds value to me. And I realize more than ever before that I should value every moment that I can spend time with him. He matters that much to me. Today, just as a focus, I want to focus on the lifestyle of worship, the lifestyle of worship. Please understand that worship is not a moment or a time in the service. It is something that must be lived. A lifestyle is the sum total of your habits, your quirks, your actions, and even your motivation. It symbolizes more than a temporary change. It is a permanent transformation. A healthy lifestyle goes further than a diet fad. It requires that you change how you view your eating and your physical activities. It causes you to plan so that you can eliminate the excuse that the old life often brought to you. So then a lifestyle of worship goes beyond what we do in church. It surpasses praise and the honor that we offer to him on Sundays. It goes beyond hearing individuals sing or even our church celebrations. It is a 24/7 experience that separates the true worshiper from the fake. The fake worshiper can only give God glory in church. Understands that no matter where I am, God is always worthy. The fake worshiper needs an audience of spectators. The true worshiper needs the audience of one, God Almighty. The fake worshiper has to be motivated to praise. The true worshiper only has to think of the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done for them, and they're able to give him the glory that is due his name. Let's examine what it takes to make worship a lifestyle for us. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7, this is the New Living Translation, Isaiah 43:7, it says, "Bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. I have made them for my glory, and it was I who created them." Number one, understand that you were created for God's glory and pleasure. Understand that you were created for God's glory and his pleasure. I think we got it twisted. We're not here for our pleasure. We were created for God, to glorify God. And I know that you hear me, but I need you to grasp this. All of our pursuits in this lifestyle are meaningless if they don't originate from God's purpose of creating us. In other words, you are alive for more than just going to school, getting a job, marrying someone, having children, pursuing a career, growing old and dying. That life is empty if it has not brought glory to the Lord. Our lives here, our lives have to bring glory to God, because we were created for him, not for us. And if we place our agenda above God's agenda, then we can never truly worship him because we cannot bring him glory. At the end of it all, most of this stuff that we pursue in any way won't even matter. And I don't want you to hear me. At Judgment Day, God is not going to look at Michael Jordan as being the greatest basketball player ever. He's not going to look at his championship rings. He's not going to acknowledge Beyonce's record sales or how many stadiums they sold out. He's not going to congratulate Dr. Dre on being the first hip-hop billionaire or Oprah on being the first African-American female billionaire. He's not going to give a pat on the back to Steve Jobs for the iPad and iPad. God is not worrying about the Wright brothers inventing a plane or Barack being the first black president. He's not impressed with the mighty buildings and the skyscrapers and wonders of man. He is going to have you to give an account of how your life brought glory to his name. Notice, I didn't say that anything was wrong with their pursuits, but the first thing you should pursue is not your agenda, but God's agenda. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He doesn't say seek ye only. He just says seek first. Seek first. God created Adam to bring him glory. He created Eve to bring him glory. And our lives should be lived in such a way that God smiles every time he looks down upon us. The greatest words that can be stated at your funeral are not how many degrees you have or how, you know, your career listing, but that you brought glory to God. That you brought glory to God in a way, in a manner that other people could see and know that you have a lifestyle of worship. So my first offering of worship to God is me, my life. It's in him that I live and move and have my being. I am my biggest offering of worship. Present your body a living sacrifice. This is worship, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable and service. Before my worship gets real in church, my life must first bring him glory and honor and pleasure. Mark chapter 12. Well, for sake of time, I'll just go to it. Love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Here's number two. We have to learn, in order to have a lifestyle of worship, you have to love God more than you love yourself. Love God more than you love yourself. This feeds off the last principle, but I believe that it warrants its own separate section. You can't have a lifestyle of worship until you do. Many of us love us a must. We'll do almost anything for us. And the problem is we love God sectionally. We love him with our heart, but not with our mind. We love him with our souls, but not with our strength. But Jesus says to love him with everything, every part of you. Now, this implies relationship, because in all of these areas, our love must grow deeper and deeper. This won't happen unless we are in true, real relationship with God. So true worship requires true relationship. And this leads me to something else. Our affection determines our devotion. I can tell who you love more by your level of devotion. Do you spend more time on things that matter to you than the things than you do on the things that matter to God? Are you so devoted to him until you won't miss an opportunity to hear from him, or have you gotten to the place where what matters to you only dominates your life? So Bible study is an important church. Going to church and being regularly faithful is not important to you. Being an active participant is not important, because you're really not devoted to that which matters to God. God's work, his church, the ministry that we have, it is important to him and should be as important to us if we really love him. When you're devoted to me, you learn to love what I love. What's important to me becomes important to you. It can't always be about you. Worship actually is never about us. It has to do with your lavishing praise and adulation and love and devotion to someone else. It's not about you. If I love him with all my heart, with all my mind, soul, and strength, then I give him 100% of me. How much of you does God really have? I mean, does he really have your mind, or is your mind never on him? Does he really have your heart, or is your affection directed towards something or someone else? Does he have your strength, or do you spend all of your energy on other things? All I'm trying to do is show you the lifestyle of the true worshiper. I know my place in your life. I know how I'm placed in your life and what my place is in your life based on what you're willing to give up for me and the time that you're willing to invest in me. You can love me with some of your heart and some of your mind and strength, but it is impossible to love me with all, and you don't have me at the top of your agenda. And that's what God says. I want to be in your life. I want to be at the top of your agenda. John chapter 14, verses 23 through 24. This, again, is New Living Translation. Jesus replied, "All who love me will do what I say, for my Father will love them." Watch this. "And we will come and make our home with each of them." Here's number three. Your obedience to God reveals your true love for him. Your obedience to God reveals your true love for him. Again, we most of us have only seen worship as an act in church, but it's so much deeper than that. Another aspect of the lifestyle of worship is seen through our obedience to him. And I don't have to stay here long, but disobedience to God will hinder any worship that you send up to him. Back in the Old Testament, King Saul was told to utterly destroy King Agag and the Amalekites. Don't leave anything alive. Kill the children, kill the cattle, kill the sheep. Leave nothing alive. But Saul didn't do that. He killed the men, he killed the women and children, but he kept the king alive, as well as the best of everything else that they didn't deem as worthless. But God told them to destroy everything. Yet Saul said, "Look, you know what? I'm going to give my men a reward and offer the rest up as an offering to the Lord." He thought that because he offered up a sacrifice to God, that it would take the place of his obedience. But not only did God reject his offering, he rejected Saul as king. He told Saul, he said, "Listen, to obey is better than any sacrifice that you can offer up to me." And part of our problem is that we only want to do what part of what God tells us to do. And then we're surprised when God rejects us. He doesn't want you to do the part of his command that you feel you want to do, but he wants you to obey him completely. Your obedience reveals how much you truly love him. In 1 John, we won't go to the scripture, but you can take this, jot this down for your own devotion. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. "If I say that I love him but don't do what he tells me, then according to God's word, I'm a liar. That disqualifies me from being a true worshiper because I am not living in the truth. A lifestyle of worship is a lifestyle of obedience." Let me say that again. A lifestyle of worship is a lifestyle of obedience. Who are you going to allow to be Lord over your life? We'll know about whom you obey the most. When you learn to obey the Lord, then you can develop a lifestyle of worship. Disobedience causes God to reject us. And another part of our issue is the fact that we've made God Christ Savior of our lives, but he's not become Lord of our lives. He saved us, yes, but to be Lord over means that we have totally surrendered unto him. We have given him ourselves. We've said, "You know what? My agenda is not more important than yours. My actions are not based on selfish purposes and pursuits with God, because it's a lifestyle. I'm making sure that you're at the head of my life." Here's number four. Move from freestyle to lifestyle. Move from freestyle to lifestyle. When you think of someone freestyling, what comes to mind is a person performing off the cuff. It's not based on discipline or rigorous regiment, but rather a free-flowing style that happens spontaneously. Rappers who freestyle don't always sell records because making hit songs requires thoughts and plans. Basketball players who only freestyle in their play are seen on this "and one" videos, not in the NBA, because they lack the discipline of a fundamental playing. What I'm encouraging us to do is to leave from this life of winging it, praying when we want, fasting if we feel like it, loving who we choose to love, forgiving those who we think earn it, coming to church only when it's convenient, and moving from that place of a freestyling life and moving to a regimented lifestyle of worship where God is pleased with who we are and how we live. Let me ask you this. Do you even care if God is pleased with you? Do you even care if God is happy with you? Have you ever even thought to ask him if he's satisfied with your state of worship, or are you just freestyling your life? My wife and I, a few weeks ago, just made 19 years, celebrated 19 years of matrimony. And every year, this has been a tradition of ours. We will just kind of go out and have a great time, and we'll have a discussion on what the state of our marriage is at that point. We'll ask, you know, are you pleased with this? Or is there something that displeases you? Is there something that you don't like that I need to focus on? And that's important to us, because what matters to them matters to us. What matters to her, rather, matters to me. What matters to me matters to her. And when we take the time to ask these questions, we get an idea of where we really stand in the relationship. And I've come to the place where if none of you all feel like I'm doing well, it doesn't even bother me, because I'm not living my life to please you, but I'm living my life to please God. And when God finds vessels that please him, he dwells in them. And here's where you should get excited, because if you please God in your lifestyle, he sets up residence in your life, hallelujah, then you will have any and everything you need, because God is here. And if God is here, then healing is here in my body. If God is here, then deliverance is here for me. If God is here, then hope is here. If God is here, then peace is here. If God is here, then the direction I need is here. The help I need is here. The assistance that I need, the aid that I need is also here. And this is where my worship benefits me, because it brings me to God and him to me. I can't freestyle this thing. God said, I'd rather you be cold or hot, because I can't stomach lukewarm freestyling folk, and I will spew them out of my mouth. My life is one of devotion. I wake up, and before I put on the coffee, and before I put on the radio, I speak to him. Before I turn on the TV, I speak to him. I go throughout the day speaking to him and listening to him speak to me. Simply put, true worshipers get to the place where they make God their lives. I've made him my life. If I never sell another book, I'm not tripping, because I've made God my life. If I'm never promoted on my job, I don't care, because I've made God my life. If I never get the accolades of men, it does not matter to me, because I've made God my life. Now, the last aspect of moving from worship as freestyle to worship as lifestyle is like an individual who's preparing to marry. Prior to making your nuptial vows, you're actually permitted to freestyle. I'm not talking to the engaged, but there's no covenant, so there's no requirement for a lifestyle change. But the moment you connect with that person through marriage, the days of freestyling is over. Your life must now change to accommodate the status of relationship that you're in. When you really said you want a true relationship with the Lord, you can't freestyle any longer. There is now the requirement for a lifestyle change. Your status changes. The world knows that you're spoken for. I'm no longer my own. I don't belong to me. Yes, I have to tell you where I've been. Yes, I have to account for my actions. And Lord, you are now my life. I belong. Be displeased with me, move it out of the way and allow me to understand your statutes. Like David said, teach me your ways, O God. Then I will know how, this is my paraphrase, then I will know how to live for you. I want to make him smile, and the only way that can happen is if I develop a worship lifestyle, a lifestyle of worship, a life that pleases God, a life that says, Lord, above all, I want to make sure that you smile. Before I even get to me, I want to make sure that you're good. Before I take care of my agenda, God, I want to make sure that everything that you've called me to do, I've done that first, because I love you that much. And I don't want to just say that I love you. I want to show you how much I love you. I pray that this word has encouraged you and pushed you to the place where you say, oh God, you know what? while I'm at work today, I want to make sure that other people who are around me can feel your presence, because that's what worship does. Worship brings you into, ushers you into the presence of God to the extent that others around you should even feel God's presence because you're there on your job, in your classroom, even at home. Everybody should know that I've been with God, because this is something that I live, not just something that I segment off and utilize when I want to utilize it. God, I live this thing. I love you that much that I will praise and I will worship you on a 24 hours a day, 7 days a week basis. God bless you. I pray that this word touched you in some kind of way. We love you with God's love. Be blessed.
Wow, wow, wow. What a mighty and rich word that was. Oh, my gosh. I'm glad I was able to take a little bit of notes, and definitely we'll go back to this call. And we're going to go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the matchless name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, for blessing us with another day. We thank you, Father, for this word that you have blessed this vessel with. We thank you so much for Pastor Chuck Brown, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you refill him, Lord, as he decreased so that you may have increased. We thank you, Lord, for blessing his family and all those around him, oh God. We thank you for the reminder that once our lifestyle changed and once we give you all the worship and once we give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise, that our lives will change because you will be all through with God. So we thank you for that message. We thank you for that reminder. We thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing. And God, we ask that you watch over those who are under the sound of my voice, all the households that are represented right now. Father, you know what we stand in the need of, Lord. We thank you that help will be monitored and cared for. We thank you that finances are back in order. We thank you that households are together. We thank you that children are obedient and following Proverbs 6:22 with their parents, Lord. We just thank you so much for everything, the traveling mercies. And although we are leaving this call, we know, God, that we're never leaving your presence. So, God, we thank you for the promise, Lord. We thank you for all that you are doing for us, oh God. But most of all, Father, we thank you for another chance. We give you all the honor, we give you all the glory, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' precious and matchless name, we pray, and all the saints are saying, amen. Amen and amen. Master's Call family, go to www.themasterscall.net so you can hear this dynamic word in its entirety. Again, share that website with a family member, a friend, or a neighbor. We encourage you to use the interactive functions that will allow you to comment, as well as let us know if you are ready to become part of the TMC family. So if God has told you that it is time, we encourage you to use our website or go to The Master's Call, info@themasterscall.net. Again, that's info@themasterscall.net, and drop us a line. We also want to invite you to go to www.artistempowermentconference.com. You can go ahead and register. This is the last week to register for the Bahamas Conference to get the early bird price of $99. So again, go to www.artistempowermentconference.com. I want to thank you so much, Minister Cynthia, from my hometown, New York, New York, for greeting and seating God's children this morning with such Jesus joy. I want to say thank you to Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon and Dr. P.K. Roberts for your yes. I want to say thank you to Pastor Chuck Brown for such an inspiring, encouraging, and mighty word of obedience of our Lord and risen Savior. But most of all, I want to thank God for giving us a blessing of each one of you calling in this morning. This is the part of the call where I invite you to be that great, great minister in the marketplace, greeting your brother and sister with Jesus' joy and with enthusiasm. Let people know that you're a Christian, not by your words, but by your actions. Pastor Chuck, can you please come back with the benediction?
Yes, ma'am. Father, we come against all of the works and the assignment of the enemies. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.